We've spent quite a long lot of time on the program talking about our extinction crisis. It's something that many care deeply about, but it's been strangely absent from the conversation in the run-up to the election. So now that we have an idea of what's on the table, because Labor's just unveiled its suite of environmental pledges, to add to the pile, we've invited two prominent scientists to give us their assessment. And one is, of course, Ewan Ritchie. We welcome Ewan back, Professor in Wildlife Ecology and Conservation at Deakin's Centre for Integrative Ecology, and Sarah Beckersey. Sarah is a Professor in Sustainability and Urban Planning and the leader of the Interdisciplinary Conservation Science Research Group at RMIT. Ewan, Sarah, thanks for coming on. Before we get on to the politics, can you start by telling us about the state of our environment and biodiversity at the moment? And I'll put that to you, Sarah.
Well, thanks very much for having me on the show. It might surprise listeners that we're losing more biodiversity in Australia than any other developed nation. Once common species that we saw around us, like gangang cockatoos and bogong moth swarming parliament, and even koalas, have made it onto the threatened species list. We've seen a mass bleaching again this year of the Great Barrier Reef. And you know, the CSIRO scientists have identified 19 ecosystems that show clear signs of collapse.
And more than 1,900 Australian animals, plants and ecological communities at risk, at great risk.
That's right. So, you know, together with fires and floods, you know, droughts, land clearance, weeds, feral species, we've got a lot of experts saying that we now are in an extinction crisis.
Now, Ewan, we should point out it's not just environmentalists raising the alarm. There's been any number of government reviews over the years, haven't there?
Yeah, look, that's right, Philip. There was a Senate inquiry in 2018 into the extinction crisis, and that concluded that, as Sarah's highlighting, that native fauna is declining, and obviously we've got, you know, strong evidence for that. And in 2022, the Auditor-General reviewed the government's implementation of the threatened species legislation, and they found that basically desired outcomes weren't being achieved. The department lacked sufficient monitoring, reporting, and support of conservation advice. And we've also had, of course, the probably very prominent Graham Samuel review into the Environmental Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act, which was rather scathing as well of basically the performance.
I don't want to drag politics into this, but would have an even better idea of what's happening if the government had released the State of the Environment report before the election, Ewan?
Indeed. And I think it is really frustrating. And I feel frustrated for the scientists and experts that have undoubtedly worked so hard on that document. So that's arguably the most important assessment every 5 years that Australians have of Australia's environmental condition. But equally importantly, what we can do to remedy the wrongs and to ideally get better outcomes. So to not have that available when it's been with the minister since December last year, and we have, of course, an election in a few days, it's deeply frustrating.
Well, one might be a bit suspicious, actually. Now, Sarah, let's look at what's on the table. You've written about this for The Conversation just today. Walk us through what Labor is promising.
Yeah, so last Thursday night, we heard a lot of election announcements that are relevant from the Labor Party. They pledged $194.5 million dollars in reef protection, $224 million to deliver a new Saving Native Species program, new land care ranges, about 1,000 of them across the country, a boost to Indigenous protected areas and more Indigenous ranges, which is great, and really importantly, a bit of a major difference from the coalition. They actually committed to respond to that Professor Samuel's review that Ewan just mentioned and establish an independent watchdog to try and enforce those important environmental laws.
Now, will you contrast this to the coalition's existing policies and any new election pledges, please, Sarah?
Yes, I will. So we actually scoured coalition websites and found no new election commitments beyond the March budget announcements. But if I just could refer to those, about $100 million for threatened species protection and $74 million for koala protection, $1 billion for reef protection, committed to land care and Indigenous protected areas and Indigenous ranges, but a whole range of sort of slightly negative, you'd say, commitments as well. So $220 million to make sure that the native forest industry is not shut down, a plan to cut green tape, which I hate that expression, to devolve powers to the states, really in some respects an abdication of responsibility to implement its own Biodiversity Act. And then a real negative, which I think I could refer back to Labor as well on this, is, you know, essentially it's the elephant in the room, is the climate policies, you know, because we can see that the coalition has commitments to climate consistent with global warming to about 3 to 4 degrees this century, and that's going to be absolutely catastrophic for biodiversity. It's going to render coral reefs functionally extinct, for example.
Ewan, will you mark the homework of government and opposition, please? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think as Sarah's highlighted, I think the performance for both, I think, you know, successive governments has been an epic failure over the last recent decades. And unfortunately, the two major parties are simply not offering enough in terms of what might come in the future. So, and I think Sarah highlighted a really important point too, is that, you know, we want to see positive policies, but of course we want to see policies that are also aligned. So if we're going to spend a couple of hundred million dollars on trying to recover the reef, as Labor's proposing to do, but at the same time you're also committing to continuing with fossil fuel use, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. And particularly, as again Sarah was saying, if we look at the climate policies of the major parties, you know, the Morrison government is pursuing about 26 to 28% reductions in emissions by 2030, Labor about 43%. But the Greens, of course, are the most ambitious with a 74% cut by 2030.
Feasible, Ewan?
Absolutely feasible. And I think that's another important point, is that often I think what I guess a lot of us are really asking for from government, regardless of the issue, is ambition. And when we have ambition, industry, business will come with us and they will invest, of course, accordingly. The markets will respond and so forth. And so, you know, that policy of the Greens of 74% cut, that is in line with keeping temperatures at 1.5 or below, which we know from climate scientists, from environmental scientists, from ecologists, that is what we absolutely have to meet to have any chance of surviving, you know, in terms of our biodiversity.
Look, back to you, Sarah. One of the problems with the coalition's plans is that it relies on, quote, technology breakthroughs, some of which sound absolutely dubious and none of which may come true.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely true. Carbon capture is an unproven technology, sadly. So, yeah, I mean, we're sort of staring down the barrel of really quite catastrophic rises in temperature with that plan.
What about the teals, Sarah? What are they calling for on emission cuts?
Well, I mean, it does vary, obviously, between different independents. But on the whole, in our analysis, they're not too bad. So many are relying on the commitments of about 60% by 2030. And, you know, I think there are actually some policies actually even refer to biodiversity. So Labor Spender, for example, is committed to protecting Wentworth's stunning natural environment and protecting our health, wellbeing and tourism. So, you know, I think they're going actually in some respects a little further than some of the major parties.
Ewan, as you know, the overwhelming majority of our listeners are well aware that climate crisis and the extinction crisis are pretty much one and the same thing. But can you give me an example, please?
Well, a perfect example is what Sarah was discussing before about our forests. So, of course, we know that we need timber, but we need sustainable timber. And cutting down large established forests doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. We know that those forests, we look at our ash forests as an example, in Victoria, they store a lot of carbon. They're really important for our watershed. And so to cut down trees like that, which are really, really important in storing carbon, then releasing that carbon, but then, of course, also losing homes for species like the threatened greater glider, the critically endangered leadbeater's possum and so forth. Again, it doesn't make much sense. So absolutely no one would question that, you know, the climate change issue needs to be addressed, but the extinction crisis and biodiversity decline crisis is just as important, and the two do interact, as you just mentioned.
Well, another great example is, of course, the Great Barrier Reef, and academics from James Cook have recently said that dedicating money to the reef without addressing climate change is, and I quote, like putting Band-Aids on an arterial wound. Sarah, have other parties or politicians made any interesting proposals when it comes to the environment?
Well, last week the Greens announced a whopping $24.4 billion commitment over the next decade for restoring wildlife habitat, which, you know, is a significant step up in resources. And it's, you know, it's also consistent with economic analysis that was done by my colleague Brendan Wintle, myself and others, that really it talks about the funding that would genuinely be required if we didn't want future extinctions of species in Australia. The Greens are also committed to holding climate change or global warming to 1.5 degrees rather than 2 degrees, which doesn't really sound like much, does it? What, you know, 0.5 of a degree. But, you know, interestingly, repeated studies have predicted that that is a huge, there's a huge difference between those two goals. Keeping, holding temperatures at 1.5 is really critical for our, for the global ecosystem.
And of course, that some of the other minor parties are still practicing Monty Python stuff. One Nation reckons we're the only political party to question climate change science and reckon Australia should withdraw from the Paris Agreement. Bob Katter's party announced that they're pro-culling flying foxes and aim to eliminate crocodiles from our waterways. I mean, that's hugely helpful, isn't it?
Oh, well, yes. It shows a fundamental misunderstanding, I think, as well, Philip, that, you know, we know that our flying foxes, which can migrate hundreds, in some cases thousands of kilometres per year, are incredibly important for pollinating our forests and also dispersing seeds. So, again, it just shows a misunderstanding.
Okay. Now, what do we really see or need to see, Ewan, from the next government?
Look, there's a range of things that we need to see, but I think, as we've already been discussing, strengthening environmental law and aligning policies so that they're not sort of counteracting each other. Investing in the environment, you know, so as Sarah highlighted, it's been estimated that for roughly $1.7 billion per year, we could recover our listed threatened species. Now, we think about how much money we spend on other areas like submarines. That's a tiny investment per year. We need to, of course, tackle the threats, like land clearing as an example. So just in 2018 and 19 alone in Queensland, 680,000 hectares of woody vegetation was cleared, which is roughly about 1,000 MCGs per day it equates to. So we need to tackle the threats. We need to, of course, be working with, listening to, you know, Indigenous people in terms of, you know, their culture, their practices on country. And, of course, you know, self-determination in land management is a critical part of that, representation in environmental bodies and so forth. So that's a critical step as well. And working with communities and across boundaries. So large numbers of threatened species are not just found in national parks, they're found in private properties. So there's huge gains to be made there from encouraging better practices, you know, helping people to do the right thing, who in many cases want to do the right thing. And engaging society. So, you know, Sarah's group, as an example, does fantastic work in the cities and urban environments in regards to biodiversity and how we can promote more biodiversity in our cities. So there's so many wonderful things we can do. And I think the important point is we have the knowledge, we have all the ability here. We just need the support from governments to do this.
And let the record show, beloved listeners, that there's overwhelming public support for these issues. The Australian Conservation Foundation found 95% agreed it is important to protect nature for future generations. Thank you both for coming on. I've been talking to Ewan Ritchie, Professor in Wildlife Ecology and Conservation at Deakin University, and to Sarah Beckersey, Professor in Sustainability and Urban Planning at RMIT. Ewan, you've been a wonderful contributor to the program in recent years, and it's good to meet a new contributor in Sarah.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.